Thanks so much for joining us on a Saturday here at CCO. It's time to bring back our Ask the Expert feature. And, of course, we did this before the football season and had a lot of folks in. And one of the people we had in over the summer and got a lot of great response was Brian Keene joining us. And Brian, of course, is the general manager at K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area. And, Brian, last time we talked, it was a warm, humid day in July.
Yeah, it's quite the opposite today.
That's for sure. And we want to, if folks have heating questions this time of year on a 22-degree day in December, by all means, give us a call at 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Hard to beat free advice on a Saturday here at CCO. Brian, we talked a ton of air conditioning in the summer, obviously, and now heating. I'm sure your crews are very busy with this first cold snap.
Yeah, you know, we did have a cold snap earlier, yeah. So we were able to get a few things done, but it's definitely the first real winter cold snap.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, Brian, where I feel like with air conditioning, obviously, and heating, that people expect to be there, that you turn the thermostat and the thing's going to fire up and be good to go. That's probably not the best way that starting out sometime earlier in the autumn or even right now, get some preventative maintenance done, get this thing looked at. Do you recommend every year for a furnace?
Yes, I would recommend annual maintenance every year. A good time to get it done would be before it gets cold. A lot of people do wait to turn their heat on until the very, very last day that they can possibly stand it. And a lot of them get surprised when it doesn't turn on.
All right, so when one of your guys comes out, what typically do they do when they look at a typical forced air furnace? What's part of a regular preventative maintenance program?
Well, we've got a lot of different furnaces out there these days, but the majority of the furnaces all have the same basic things. So the biggest thing that we need to do is make sure that the gas pressure is correct, make sure that the air filter and the ductwork is flowing freely, the air filter is clean. We also need to make sure that there's no carbon monoxide going where it's not supposed to. It's probably the biggest portion of the safety check is to make sure that all the exhaust is going out the flue or the chimney where it's supposed to, not leaking back into the house. We have special tools for doing that these days. And, of course, you know, we make sure that it's running at all the right temperatures and pressures and all that stuff.
All right. And I suppose the one thing you keep hearing about, especially as a furnace ages, is the integrity of the heat exchanger.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing that people ask about these days. If your heat exchanger is getting old, it can crack. Metal can only expand and contract so many times from heating and cooling and heating and cooling before it eventually wears out. And when that happens, it usually develops a crack. And when you hear people talk about a cracked heat exchanger, that means that the exhaust is now entering the airstream with your indoor air in your home instead of following the path that's supposed to take out the chimney. And when that happens, it's usually time to replace the furnace or the heat exchanger.
All right, and I'm sure you get asked all the time, Brian, you know, at what age? You know, especially if people moved into an existing home. Maybe they don't have a good idea how old the furnace is. If one of your guys comes out and does preventative maintenance, can they at least tell you how old the furnace is? And then ultimately, what can we expect? 15, 20 years? What's the number?
You know, 15 is probably more the number these days with the newer furnaces and stuff. I get a lot of people that say, you know, the old furnaces lasted longer. And, well, they were just a big, thick lump of metal, and they weren't very efficient. And that is true. They did last longer. But the newer furnaces, in order to get that efficiency out of the furnace, the metal has to be made thinner. And when they make it thinner, of course, it isn't going to last quite as long. But 15 years is usually the average of what people are getting out of their furnace. A lot of people do get 20, but unfortunately we do find some, you know, cheaper, lesser quality models that weren't taken care of very well that do fail at 10 years.
All right, Brian King joining us. He is the general manager of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area. He joined us in the summer. Here he is back in December to talk heating. And by the way, if you have a question for Brian, feel free to call 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226, or you can text 81807. That is 81807. To continue to follow up on some of the things homeowners can do, one of is a filter, and that's something most homeowners should be able to do. How often is monthly a good way to go on the filter?
Well, talking about filters, you know, there's a few different ones out there. There's the ones that are 1 inch thick that are made out of fiberglass, which usually looks kind of like a weavy woven web of material. Those should be checked monthly. A lot of times they probably get replaced every other month, but they should be checked monthly. Then you have the big, thick, you know, 4 or 5 inch filters, and those are usually every 6 months to a year. But again, I recommend that people check them as often as they can, just to see, you know, what condition it's in. There is one other kind of filter. That's the 1 inch pleated looking filters. We really don't recommend that people use those. They cause a lot of problems for us in the wintertime. They don't flow enough air. They get clogged up too easy, and are the basis of a lot of service calls.
Yeah, and you know, you see, you know, the good, better, and best when it comes to those pleated filters, but they just restrict airflow. That's the big concern, right?
Right. That's the problem. They filter okay, but they don't let enough airflow get through, and it's really hard on the system, and it can make the heat exchanger get hotter, which in turn can make it crack sooner.
All right, and then from time to time, you've heard about the electronic filters, if you will. Are those still installed?
No, electronic filters are pretty much a thing of the past. There's still several of them out there, but they don't do a lot of those anymore. They've been replaced by the HEPA-type media filters that do a lot better job of filtering dust day after day after day. The electronic ones work well until they get dirty. After a few weeks, they really decline in how efficient they are.
All right. What about the onboard humidifiers? I know my furnace has one, and every year I got to get in there and clean it out. There's buildup and that sort of thing, and I've got to replace that pad. Are those still a good way to go? Do you install a lot of those?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, not everybody needs a humidifier, but when you do need one, what we call a bypass humidifier is going to be the best one out there. They're very reliable. They don't have a lot of moving parts. They typically just have a pad that trickles water down a pad, and as the air passes over that pad, the water is you know, picked up by the air and spread throughout the house.
And those work pretty good.
Yeah, those are the best ones out there. Pretty much all manufacturers of humidifiers out there have all gone to that same design.
All right. And is that one of those things where people don't want to take that apart and change a pad out every year? That's something that could be done during that preventative maintenance. When someone comes out, they could take care of that and clean that up and get it ready for the season.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another thing that should be checked out once a year, just like the furnace. The pad should be replaced once a year. They're relatively cheap. They're usually made of aluminum. They can go right in the recycle bin with the pop cans, and a new one should be put in. After a while, they just get a lot of lime built up on them from the water that's evaporating, leaves the lime and scale behind, and the best thing to do is just to get rid of that.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Brian Keene, once again, general manager, joining us from K&S Heating and Air Conditioning, serving the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area. Louis in Minneapolis. Louis, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Say, I just wanted to ask the gentleman, I have a slant fin boiler, not a furnace, a boiler. How long, if this thing is maintained properly, should that hold up?
All right, Louis, thanks for the call. Brian, what about boilers? Are they pretty common?
Yeah, you know, a lot of older homes have boilers. Not as many new homes are getting boilers just because of the complications of how to add air conditioning. But his question was, you know, how long will one of those boilers typically last? We usually see about the same lifespan out of the newer higher efficiency boilers as we do out of the higher efficiency furnaces. And the older boilers, of course, again, made out of thicker material, not quite as efficient, they lasted a little bit longer. His slant fin boiler is kind of an in-between model. I'm guessing that one's probably around 80% efficient. I would expect to get 20 years plus out of that.
All right. When it comes to boilers, I remember my mom and dad had a house once upon a time that had a boiler, and it had the hot water heat in the floor of the lower level, and then, of course, more traditional radiator-style heat upstairs. But it was cool because there was no dust, and that floor in the lower level was always warm. It was great.
Yeah, they're very quiet. They provide very even heat. In a lot of cases, boilers can be just as efficient as any other forced air gas unit. You don't get a lot of dust blowing around the house with the boilers. The biggest challenge we have is just that whole problem with, having to have a whole other system for air conditioning in the summer.
Yeah, and I suppose some of those supplemental air conditioners, you see them advertised on television from time to time, the ductless air conditioning and that sort of thing. I know on a 22-degree day, talking about air conditioning, but those things seem to be more and more popular for maybe a four-season porch in those types of areas.
Yeah, they are getting a lot more popular, and they're getting a lot more popular for people that have those older homes. In the older parts of town where they've got the boilers, they love their boiler. Maybe they've been using window air conditioners and things like that. They're a really good improvement in the summertime for people that have hot water heat to get some cooling that's very efficient. But, yeah, it is kind of crazy thinking about cooling on a day like today.
Yeah, for sure. All right, quick break. We've got more with Brian coming up. It is our Ask the Expert Hour, and Brian Keene is good enough to join us. He's the general manager at K&S. Heating, air conditioning, plumbing, and electrical, serving the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area. By the way, if you have a question about your furnace, about heating and cooling systems, Brian's a man. The number is 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. That is 81807. Here at CECO. Thanks so much for joining us on a Saturday at CCO, our Ask the Expert Hour. Heating in the spotlight today, home heating. We're not so worried about air conditioning this time of year. Brian Keene joins us, general manager of K&S Heating Air Conditioning, and it serves the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area. And right now we want to go to the phone lines right now, and joining us on the line is Pete. Pete, you're on the air with Brian. Hello?
Yeah, Brian, I have a Honeywell electronic air cleaner. And I need to take them out and wash them every month. But they say there's I can put a cleaner in there that I wouldn't have to wash. Is that something that works good? And is that something that I should do so I don't have to wash these every month? Then I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Very good, Pete. Thanks.
All right. So, yeah, the Honeywell electronic air cleaners, they were really popular years back. I don't believe they sell them or make them anymore. I've never heard of any type of cleaner that would avoid you from, having to wash those out once a month. And I believe that is kind of why those things have gone by the wayside, is because of the high maintenance. If you do wash them every month, they work really well. But the other problem is they create ozone. And ozone has been something that's been deemed by the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins and, the big players like that in the medical world, in saying that it creates a lot of different health hazards, having too much ozone in your house, mainly cleft palate and birth defects is the big one.
Wow. So once again, going to an inexpensive filter is probably the best route that spending too much on a filter might be a bad thing.
Well, I think that everybody out there these days, whether replacing their furnace or keeping their existing furnace, should really think about having somebody come over and give them a free estimate on installing one of the 5-inch thick media filters. They're the least amount of maintenance, being that you only have to replace them once a year typically. Some people do it twice a year. They're going to do the best job of filtering day after day with the least amount of maintenance. And a lot of times to replace the filter, it's $40 or less once a year. And for people that really want really good filtering, they make some very special ones that you can put in there that are about $150 once a year. And those give you hospital quality filtration.
All right, duct cleaning. You hear so much about that. Is that a big deal? How much should it be done?
Yeah, I think duct cleaning should be done once a year. If you have kids and pets, I think that if you don't have kids or pets, you know, you don't have as much dirt brought into your house usually, and you could probably go every other year. But it's becoming more and more popular as time goes on. The technology for cleaning ductwork gets better and better and better and more worth it. We're seeing a lot more people clean their ductwork these days.
All right. Now, is that something you do at K&S?
Yeah, we do a lot of duct cleaning. We have two full-time duct cleaners.
Wow.
And average size house usually takes about 2 to 3 hours. A lot of times the guys will do you get into some of the really large houses and it may take a whole day, but, yeah, we do a lot of duct cleaning year round.
Yeah. And is it one of those things where number one, people are concerned about allergies and that sort of thing, but does it help your system run more efficiently?
No, I get that question a lot and I wish I could say yes, but it really doesn't have an effect on how efficient the system runs. It's really done for health. It's no different than vacuuming and then taking care of your home.
All right. Excellent. And one of the other things we had on the text line that I wanted to get into, and it came up in the summertime when we visited Brian, and this is the old, should I be running the fan 24/7? Because there's the auto switch on most thermostats, or there's the on. And I leave mine on. We've talked about this before, but for the folks that are jumping into this debate or haven't heard your answer, what is the answer? Should you be running that fan 24/7?
I always run my fan 24/7, both at my home and my business. I recommend that everybody else does as well. There is one detail that makes a little bit of a difference in making that decision, though, and that's what type of blower fan you have in your furnace. If you have what they call an electronically controlled motor or ECM motor or a variable speed DC motor, they're the newer type of motors. When I say newer, they've been around for 20 years.
Sure.
But it's more and more common for people to have those in their furnaces now. They're very quiet. They're very energy efficient. And they're designed to run 24/7. And you get a lot of benefits from that, like continuous air filtration. It really mixes the air around the house to keep things more even. It adds a lot of health benefits and comfort level benefits. But if you have the older style blower motors, you may find it noisy and drafty when the fan runs all the time. And in that case, you're probably using $300 to $400 a year in electricity as well. As to where the more efficient motors that are DC, those use about $50 a year in electricity, you know, based off of the average utility company around our area.
All right. We've got more with Brian Keene, General Manager at K&S Heating, serving the greater Twin Cities and Rochester areas. When we come back from weather break, Harold Maplewood's waiting on the line. We'll have more with Brian. We have a number of texts lined up as well. So if you have a question for Brian, General Manager of K&S Heating, by all means, call 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226, or you can text 81807. That is 81807. It is our Ask the Expert Hour here on CCO. Thanks so much for joining us here on a Saturday at CCO. North Dakota State advances to the semifinals of the FCS football playoffs. They beat Wofford in Fargo today, 42-10. The final in that football game. South Dakota State coming up And another quarterfinal, if the Jags win there, they will play the Bison in the semifinals. All right, let's get back to Brian Keene, general manager of K&S Heating. It is our Ask the Expert hour, and we're talking heating, and we've got a lot of calls and text. And let's go to the phone lines again for Brian. We've got Harold from Maplewood on the air. Harold, you're on the air with Brian Keene. Hello.
Yes, on that thing on a furnace where the water goes through, is there a float in there by chance too?
You're talking on your humidifier?
It's added onto the stove. It's right next to the furnace. And there's water that goes in it.
Well, there's a few different types of humidifiers out there, and there are some that have a float in them, and then there are some that don't. If the bypass type do not, they just have a water valve that opens up and lets the water trickle down a pad that you replace. Now, there's some old ones that have a drum where a drum rotates into the water, and that actually does have a float that fills the pan. So I don't know which type you have.
Yeah, and Harold, to follow up on that, the one I have on my furnace is a Honeywell, and it's got a switch. It goes from 1 up to about 10. In my house, I can't ever run it over 2, or I get condensation on the windows. And Brian, I guess that leads us into, you know, it just kind of depends. But I know the pad gets kind of gunky, and in the spring when the heating season's over, I pull that out of there and clean it real good and shut off the bypass, because there is warm air that'll flow through there, and I shut that off and pull the filter out of there and clean everything up real good. I usually need CLR to clean it up.
Yep, you can use CLR. Some people actually will try to get a few extra years out of their pad by cleaning them, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it is easier just to take the pad out and recycle it and put in a new one. What he was referring to was like an old drum-style humidifier, I think. Mm. And that has a wheel with a pad on it. And that wheel rolls around in circles in the water and keeps getting more water applied to it. And there is a float in a pan that wheel rotates into. I believe that's what he was talking about.
All right. Very good. Let's continue on the text line. By the way, phone lines are open if you want to talk to Brian, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. From our text line at 81807, what about air exchange units? Venmar, is that the typical air exchange units? And do you guys work on air exchange units?
Oh, we sure do. A lot of the new houses get air exchangers installed. Most of them are required to have it by code these days. The tighter houses are built, the more need there is for an air exchanger. And people that have humidifiers usually don't need an air exchanger. The main purpose and function of an air exchanger, or HRV, sometimes called a heat recovery ventilator, would be actually to help dry the house out in the wintertime. Some people have houses that are built really nice and tight. You know, they got Tyvek on the outside, they've got plastic on the inside. And the tighter they build these houses, the more chance there is that the homes will retain all the humidity that people put into them, from showers and dishes and laundry and things of that nature. And a lot of these people with brand new homes don't need humidifiers. They actually have to have an air exchanger that uses the outside air that's cold and dry in the winter and exchanges it with the air that's in the house that's warm and humid, and help dry the house out a little bit. The reason why they use an expensive device like an air exchanger to do that is it actually recovers the heat of the air that's leaving the house and puts it into the air that's coming in, so that your utility bills don't go up so much when you're exchanging the air.
How much service do those air exchange units need? Is it kind of like a furnace when you have someone out to look at your furnace, or for that matter, air conditioner, they should check out the air exchange unit as well?
Yep. Some people actually have air exchangers and humidifiers. That does happen. Mm-hmm. And when we're servicing the furnace once a year, if you have an air exchanger, you should have that serviced at the same time, just like you would the humidifier or the furnace. We usually have a small extra fee that you'd pay for whatever accessories you have. And what happens is there's filters inside that need to be cleaned. And then there's a thing called a core. And a core is kind of like a heat exchanger. And that core needs to be cleaned out. It just gets bugs and dust and things like that built up in it. And just like a filter, you have to keep it free and flowing well in order to do its job. So we do clean the little sponge filters that they have in there. They're usually washable. And we clean the core. And then we'll make sure that everything else inside is operating properly, like the fan motor and things like that. Some of them need oiling. Some of them have defrost mechanisms that need to be serviced. Just depends on which model you have.
All right. By the way, Brian, I was going to ask about one other item associated with air exchangers. Are they standard equipment on new construction? If a new home is built today, does it always have an air exchange in it?
No, you don't have to. There is a way to get around it with ventilation. We recommend that they do get one, but there are some ways to get around it, and that would be to have a bath fan in your house that is permanently wired to run continuously. It's not the most efficient way to do it, but there are some municipalities that allow that. It would still comply with the air exchange code, but it's not a very efficient way to do it because, again, you're not really warming up all that air that's coming back into your home, and it raises your utility costs quite a bit. So there is ways to get around it, but you've got to have some type of ventilation in your home.
All right, Brian, let's go to the text line one more time, and then we have a number of calls. Jim, Tammy, and Margaret waiting on the phone lines to visit with Brian. And this is probably pretty typical depending on the size of your home, but in this particular text, the heat just doesn't get to my sunroom vents, which are the longest pole from the furnace. Are there any ideas? Should I go to a space heater? Is there any way to get a little more oomph to get heat out to the sunroom?
Good question. I get questions like this every winter and in the summer as well. So your heating system or cooling system has a certain amount of airflow that you have to work with. And everybody's ductwork's a little bit different. So depending on how many openings you have, just like anything else, the air is going to take the path of least resistance. So if you've got some areas of the house that are pretty warm, but then you're trying to get another area warmer because it doesn't get enough airflow out there, I would recommend closing the vents down either part of the way or all the way in the areas that are warmer or closer to the thermostat in order to help push that air harder or give a little more airflow out to the areas that are on the outskirts of the house that you're having trouble with. And running the fan continuously, of course, would help too.
All right. Is there any sort of booster that you put in on any really long runs, or isn't that recommended to have a supplemental fan down on the end to draw more air into that room?
Another good question. I get that question a lot too, but what I typically tell people is a booster isn't going to produce any more air that isn't already there.
So you
can add boosters everywhere, but if you don't have any air to get, then it's not going to help. So again, the very best way to do it is to work with the amount of air that you have to work with and get it to go where you want by forcing it there.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have a number of calls waiting. Let's start with Jim in St. Paul. Jimmy, you're on the air with Brian Keene from K&S Heating. How you doing, Jim?
Real good. Thank you so much for this show. I like this. Say, my question is, I have a Burris hot water heat, and I was wondering, how often should I add water? It's about 8 years old.
Are you asking how often you should add water to your boiler?
Yeah, Jim, add water to the boiler?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know.
All right, very good.
Well, that's a good question. You know, typically your boiler shouldn't need water added to it unless it has a leak. So if you're constantly having to add water to it, or even if you have to add water to it every year, that water's going somewhere, and it really shouldn't be. So I would recommend if you're having that kind of issue, unless you know that you just have a leaky radiator or something that you don't want to fix, I would recommend having somebody take a look and figure out where that water is going so that you don't have to refill it anymore. It really shouldn't have to be done. There is no way to give you an answer on how often it should be done. You just want to make sure that you maintain pressure in your boiler. And usually on your boiler gauge, we'll tell you how much pressure you have.
All right, let's go to Tammy and Savage. Tammy, you're on the air with Brian Keene. Hello.
Hi. I've got a question. My daughter bought my mother-in-law's house. She used to have a dual heating furnace, and then when she updated her furnace, they did not do it as a dual heating. So, like, the basement is getting some air, but it's not warming the basement up. Is there any way that we can do another dual heating without buying another furnace?
Did your system used to have two furnaces and then you switched to one, or did it used to have a zone system? You know?
It used to be one furnace, and so it must have been a zone because she had the thermostat upstairs and the thermostat downstairs.
Okay, I understand. So there was a two-zone system installed, and when they put the new furnace in, maybe there was something wrong with it, so they just got rid of it. It would be very beneficial to get one put back in again. And our company provides free estimates. We can come over and figure out, you know, how much it would cost, if it's totally doable, you know, and give you all the details there. But I would highly recommend that. If you have the ability to have your ductwork zoned, it's always going to be a lot more efficient and more comfortable to do so.
Yeah, and Brian, I have a house that was built in the 50s. Once upon a time, they had zone heating, and they took that out because there was this contraption on the furnace where it would open dampers and slide them back and forth, and I think that broke down, and the previous owner just got rid of it. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think that component just wore out, and I was wondering how you'd get something like that back up and running. Is it possible to retrofit an old system with zone heating?
Oh, absolutely. We do that every week at least. I would highly recommend doing that for both of you guys. Having the ductwork divided up so that you can zone it with electronics is really nice to have. Not everybody has that. And, you know, when those units break down, I always recommend replacing them, not just getting rid of them, because you're really getting rid of a really nice comfort feature when you get rid of that. So, yeah, absolutely. I would definitely go back to that.
All right. Let's go to Margaret in Elk River. Margaret, you're on the air with Brian Keene. Hello.
Hi. We have had all the years that we've had the house. It was built in 1971, a fuel-run boiler. Never had a problem with it. Never heard any water going through the system through the whole house. 5 years ago, we put in a gas boiler furnace, and you can hear the water running through the system, and at night it can wake you up. We've had it serviced last year or 2 years ago, and the gentleman that came out, he showed my husband how to add water if it makes that noise. And then we didn't have it cleaned last year. This year we had it cleaned, and in between those 2 years, you could hear the water, you know, going through the whole system. So why is it doing this, or what is causing it?
All right, Margaret,
that's
thanks.
That's a good question. I can answer that for you. It sounds to me like your system is getting low on water, kind of like the other gentleman that called, and they're adding pressure to it, but unfortunately they're not getting the air out. What you're hearing is the air and water flowing through the system. What they need to do is add the water, but then and to create pressure, but then they need to bleed the air out. Once that air is bled out of the system, it should be nice and quiet, just like you want it to be.
All right, very good. Good luck with that, Margaret. Quick break. Brian Keene will continue in a moment. We've had a lot of great calls and texts, and we'll try and get to the text line. We've got a number of those lined up before we say goodbye to Brian today. Once again, he's the general manager of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and greater Rochester areas. And their website, ksheating.com. That's ksheating.com. Once again, we continue with Brian in a moment.